flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Is everybody in? Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
Coming up on a Friday,
Save that.
Show here at Padres Fantasy Camp. It is Friday. It's 8 a.m. back in San Diego, 9 o'clock here in Arizona. Ben Higgins, Paul Reindel with me. Stephen Woods out on the field at the Peoria Sports Complex Stadium this morning playing the seventh place game out of eight teams. So, yeah. Paul, you're playing in the third place game later today, and then we'll all be heading back to San Diego for the rest of the weekend here. But it's been a really fun week. I want to thank the San Diego Padres, all the staff here who make everybody feel so comfortable and welcome for the players. I know it's a lifetime of memories and an experience you really can't get anywhere else. This is truly, you talk about like unique experiences. This is truly a one-of-a-kind type experience to participate in Padres Fantasy Camp.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, whenever this ride ends on the radio, which will happen at one point, I'm going to look back and go, man, I got to go to six fantasy camps, seven, whatever it ends up being. I'm the luckiest guy in the world. It's an unbelievably unique experience. And in the past, I've called it a once in a lifetime experience. I can't really call it a once in a lifetime experience because so many of these guys, they thought it was a once in a lifetime experience and it just became a part of their budget and they come back every single year. It's like a little brotherhood. Tom, Bill, and Callie have absolutely crushed it this year. the clubbies. I mean, you are getting the major league experience for the entire week. They do your laundry for you. Everything is your locker has your jersey hanging up every single morning when you walk in. You got Ricky and Ben and JoJo and AJ and David in the trainer's room. They have just been doing work. You got guys like Jackson Merrill walking around saying what's up to campers. It's the best week you could imagine.
They've even got the official stat sheet. I just got handed a nice big sheet of stats. Would you like to know how my colleagues are doing? I've got the offensive stats here for one Paul Reindl.
I would guess probably not great.
All right, so Paul Reindl, during the course of fantasy camp, these are not alphabetical. All right, you are 7 for 20 with 3 runs scored. That is a 350 batting average. Hey, that's better than Tony Gwynn's lifetime batting average, Paulie. I think he was facing some tougher pitching. And a 400 slugging percentage, so 8 total bases. So 7 singles and a double for Paulie. That's not bad.
About right.
Not bad. You're right next to our friend Tier 1 Jeff, who is also hitting 357 for 20. Now, Jeff mentioned he has never played baseball in his life until this week.
Good for him.
That's
a good week.
Does it feel worse hitting 350 for the same than a guy who's never played baseball before?
I mean, look, I've been roping the ball. I've just been hitting it right at guys. There's not a whole lot you can do.
Now, meanwhile, and I was surprised by this because obviously we had heard about some of his struggles during camp, but then again, he had the big turnaround yesterday with the major offensive performance after Brett Boone's psychoanalysis of Woodsy yesterday.
It's amazing how well that worked.
Currently sitting in 11th place in camp batting average, going 13 for 20, also 3 runs scored, 16 total bases, 650 batting average, one Steven Woods.
Good
with
friend.
An 800 slugging percentage. Very nice. Nicely done. And Woodsy,
the problem is, and it happens just about every year, is that I bet we are pretty much at the bottom in runs scored because if and when we do get on base, it's very unlikely that we get driven in. Like, what did you say?
Three runs. Yeah, you're right near the bottom of the runs leaders. You both have three. Yeah.
We both have 3 runs.
Both have 3.
There was one year we were on each other's team. We hit back to back in the lineups, and you know, if I got on base, if he didn't hit me in, we weren't scoring that.
I don't see any home run stats here.
There was a home run yesterday.
Was there
first
a home
ever? Donovan
really?
Stone. I have not seen him yet. Greg Garcia, were you there for that?
So, Donovan's 16 for 21, hitting league-leading 762 average and a 1,048 slugging percentage.
The first ever over-the-fence home run in fantasy camp history. Everybody was going, oh, well, it was because of the wind, of course.
Wind aided.
It was not because of the wind, because it cleared. There's a gap in between the practice fields, like, you know, 30-foot gap. He hit it into the other field.
And this was off a pitching machine yesterday, so he had to supply all that power. It wasn't like some, you know, night he barreled up a 90-mile-an-hour pitch. He had to provide all the power himself,
essentially. Half the games out at Fantasy Camp use a pitching machine because we don't have enough arms to do 8 7-inning games in 6 days. It's just not 5 days. It's not possible. As everybody's walking around with ice wrapped around their shoulders, you couldn't do it. So to play more games, you had to throw in a pitching machine game here and there. And, not easy to generate all that power on a 50, 60 mile an hour pitch, but I didn't see it. I was playing on another field, but I heard the reaction from everybody, and
time ever. That would be like the sound when you're on a golf course and someone makes a hole in one.
Yes,
you can hear it. Like
no matter
holes
where you're
over,
at.
Even if you're on a different hole, you know what that sounds like on a golf course. I've been around for a few at the Goat, and you hear the whooping and the hollering. It can only mean one thing. You don't cheer like that just for a birdie putt. It better be a hole in one.
Now, so Woodsy's over at the complex right now. That's one of the perks of fantasy camp. The last game, even if you're in the last place game or the first place game, it does not matter. All the final games are in the stadium, and you got your picture, your official photo on the big screen and everything like that. It's super fun. So we'll be out there. I'll be out there in, I don't know, hour and a half, 2 hours from now, and hoping to be able to pitch 3 innings. We'll see how it goes.
Well, I mean, best of luck, certainly. You know, you'll be facing a tougher opponent than Woods is.
We're playing the same team that we played yesterday,
good. You lost on a close one yesterday.
We lost. We were walked off in the 9th inning. Now, the interesting thing is this team that we're playing, and it's the 98 NL Champions is their team name, coached by Wally Joyner and Carlos Hernandez. Their team had, every team had 11 guys on their roster at the beginning of the week. They have 9 bodies now because they had 2 season-ending or week-ending injuries already. And then out of those 9, only 4 players could run. So 5 guys would come up and hit, and another would run for them. And I was playing first base yesterday. I saw the same 3 or 4 guys literally every time somebody got on base. So they were just like ghost running, pinch running for each other. So I think strategy wise, it only makes sense that I like try to hit somebody in the knee or something so they can't run. You know,
what's the
give ourselves
yeah,
that
exactly.
advantage?
What's the dividing line between players who can and can't run? Because obviously, you know, Tom Seidler has tried to goad me into participating. I've said if Padres ever win the championship, I will actually suit up and play fantasy camp. But would I be a runner or a non-runner? Like how bad of a runner do you have to be to be considered a non-runner?
You have to be injured.
Okay, so even though I'm healthy, I am the slowest. I mean, I probably would be a lot slower than even some injured people who are running out there. Even at my top speed, you could have like an Achilles tear and go faster than I can go out there. So could I be a non-runner even though I'm healthy?
I want to see it more than anything, Ben, in a baseball uniform out there trying to get through a game. I really, really, really want to see that happen. I won't lie to you, Ben. You'd probably be in the bottom 10% now of speed, but
like if
you
I
would
didn't
have to
run,
run yeah.
I don't. I mean, I would be more inclined. My hand-eye coordination isn't bad. You know, I'm a golfer. I know how to swing a stick and make contact with a ball. I get it moving, but at the same time, I have decent hand-eye coordination. I can catch a baseball in a glove. My arm is actually all right. I can, you know, give me a little warm-ups. I can toss a ball. I cannot do the running and the sliding. That's really what has prevented me from ever wanting to do fantasy camp. I do not want to be sprinting around the bases. I do not want to be sliding into bases. This is basically the hurdle that has prevented me from ever suiting up with you guys at a fantasy camp.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of throwing. You know, everything. Yeah. Everything's sore by the end of the week,
can,
for
but
sure.
I can manage
you
that.
Some,
I can manage
It gives you
that.
Some perspective on guys that do it for 162, plus 2 months of spring training, plus maybe a few weeks of the playoffs. It's a grind, and you get a little taste of that out here at fantasy camp. But you would definitely, until you got actually injured and the training staff says, yeah, you probably shouldn't run, you're going to have to run.
All right, just got that breaking news I teased. This is actually somewhat expected, but the PGA Tour has just announced that the Genesis Invitational, the Tiger Woods-hosted tournament that is usually played at Riviera up in the Pacific Palisades. We knew it wasn't going to be there because of the wildfires and the aftermath in Los Angeles. It has officially been announced that they will play at Torrey Pines, as has been speculated for the last week or so, February 13th through the 16th. So official news from the PGA Tour, a second tour event coming to Torrey Pines next month. I'm sure that they are explaining right now the logistics of pulling that off at Torrey Pines, and do they just leave all the grandstands and everything in place for the next month? And you know, they're gonna have to recruit obviously a new batch of volunteers and everything that goes along with that to get another PGA Tour event going in just a month. But they do have the infrastructure in place. I've been told that it will be played entirely on the south course, no north course. It's a slightly smaller field for the elevated event. So the Genesis Invitational, hosted by Tiger Woods, coming to Torrey Pines February 13th through the 16th next month. Not to take away from the last 2 rounds of the Farmers Insurance Open, there are still tickets available today and tomorrow. Great time can be had out there. We've got a pretty good leaderboard right now with Ludvig Åberg at 6 under par ahead and tied for the lead with Lanto Griffin going into the weekend. I think it's important. If you want to go to this, the Genesis, great. If you're a real golf fan, I certainly would recommend that you get out to Torrey Pines. But support the one that's going to be here year in and year out. You know, if you're thinking about going to golf, go to the Farmers Insurance Invitational. I know that the Century Club, the organizers, they're like, I don't want people to not go to the Farmers because they think that there's going to be another tournament here next month. They're like, oh, I was going to go to the Farmers this weekend, but now I'll wait. Support the tournament that's here every single year. They need your support. They put on a really fantastic event. It is really fun out there. If you've never been, always have a good time when you go out there. And there's still 2 days to go out and catch some golf. But there will be another golf tournament, Torrey Pines, next month. That breaking news is in. All right, we'll take a timeout. Did see Dave Dravecki in the building, so going to have him joining us here in just a couple of minutes. I want to talk more about the Jurickson Profar, obviously signing with the Atlanta Braves as well. That is all coming up after traffic. First, though, tell you about Prize Picks. It is daily fantasy, and it is real money. It's a way to play and just add a little enjoyment to your sports viewing, especially during playoff time with a couple more games this Sunday. They've got all kinds of great lineups that you can set, including a special square this Sunday only. Jaden Daniels, one half of one passing yard. That's right, if it gets one passing yard, you can put that in a winning lineup and win real cash. It is a terrific way to get started and have a chance to build your bankroll. And to help you build that bankroll early with Prize Picks, when you sign up and download the app at prizepicks.com, use our code KWFN and get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. So think of that. $5 your own money. You're going to get 10 times that in free money to play. And then start setting lineups. You could turn that into 1,000 times your money. 50 into 50,000, potentially with Prize Picks with just one lineup. It's between two players and six players. They've got, you know, tougher predictions, those would be the demons, the easier ones, the goblins. They all change kind of the odds and how it works. But it's really fun. It's really easy to play. You just have to get started now. They can take MasterCard, Apple Pay, Venmo for quick and easy deposits and withdrawals back into your account when you win. Check it all today at Prize Picks. Run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Paul back here on 97.3 The Fan. Woodsy may join us again in our final hour of the week here at Padres Fantasy Camp. We got Dave Dravecki coming up at the bottom of the hour. I'm glad we were here this week getting to hang with some of these ball players who have gone through all of these off seasons, and you know, they look at things a little bit differently, Paulie,
than
I think fans do. After the news yesterday that, you know, Jurickson Profar signs with the Braves, another fan favorite, another player that, you know, the Padres aren't getting back, you've just sensed what was already been a frustrating and disappointing for the offseason fan base really come to a head yesterday. I saw the anger on social media. I get it. It's human nature to just want to compare.
I'm one of them.
Last year's team to this year's team. And it's fair. You look, okay, well, last year's team, they were good enough to win 93 games and get to the National League Division Series and almost took down the Dodgers. But you take away Profar and Kim and Tanner Scott and Kyle Higashioka, this team's probably not as good as last year's team.
You got so close, you felt like Had you won one more game, it might have been your year. You might have been hoisting the trophy at the end of it all. And to take some steps back as opposed to piling on and taking some steps forward, that's what hurts. That sucks.
And I'm not saying that that's not a valid way to feel. But I will caution, because I know that the guys, these ball players who are here, look at it a little bit differently. They don't necessarily compare, like, roster to roster. Every year is its own entity. And the exact same roster may come back from one year to the next and perform completely differently. Sure. Better or worse.
Sure.
Guys don't have the exact same seasons every year. Some guys have much better years. Some guys get injured and have much worse seasons. So to simply say Padres have taken a step back doesn't factor everything in. It simply tells you that, you know, Jurickson Profar is not going to be returning for the San Diego Padres next season. There are a lot of factors out there. Some do indicate that, you know, Padres probably won't be as good. Not having Joe Musgrove, I think, is the biggest.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing that's going to hurt the Padres in 2025. Not losing Jurickson Profar is a blow. But I think his production, whatever it's going to be, is not irreplaceable. Jurickson Profar is a good ball player, but his production is not irreplaceable. Finding a guy to replace Joe Musgrove, to me, that was always going to be the biggest challenge for the Padres in the offseason.
It felt a little different just because you already had him written off for the entire season, knowing that he got injured in the postseason of last year. Like, you weren't even expecting Joe at any point to be ready in 2025. So it was kind of an out of sight, out of mind sort of thing. When I saw Kyle Higashioka leave for $6 million or whatever it was, I'm thinking, that guy played really well last year, and we kind of needed a catcher. That one hurts. You would have liked to have seen him come back. It didn't happen. Ha-Sung Kim, I never thought he was going to come back. Profar was the one that really stung, though. That guy is a Padre through and through. Said it earlier. He brings so much more than just an all-star caliber season like he did last year. He's the clubhouse guy. He's the heartbeat of your team. He'll fight the entire Dodgers roster 1-on-26. He doesn't care. And you lose a little bit of an edge when Jurickson Profar is not on your roster.
No, and I agree with that. But simply production-wise, Kyle Higashioka and Jurickson Profar are actually kind of similar cases. Both had outlying seasons. Both had long, like a decade-long tenure in Major League Baseball.
Where
they showed you who they were over those 10 years. Not bad ball players, but not guys that you would ever dream are multi-million dollar, multi-year free agent type guys. Both had great timing last year to have really good seasons as they were going into free agency, which artificially inflates their price tags because of the timing of it all. Had Jurickson Profar had this season, 2 years ago, it might be a totally different story with where he was coming, financially. So
he did have a good year two years ago, and then he opted out, because that's what you do when you have the best year of your career. Up until that point, you opt out and try to get that bag, and it didn't work. And he ended up in Colorado for
and had a terrible season,
$6 million,
and didn't get anything for it.
He's been on one wild roller coaster of a career, sure.
Generally, the rule of thumb is you don't overpay guys coming off one good season when they have a track record of who they are. Now, the Rangers were willing to give Kyle Higashioka, more than he probably would have thought he was getting until last season. Same with the Braves and Jurickson Profar. And that's great for both of those guys. And I'm not saying they don't deserve it, and I'm not saying they won't earn those contracts. But
see, like with Higgy, though, $6 million, I don't know what his usage is going to be like in Texas. But I know if we signed him here in San Diego for that amount of money, he's the everyday catcher. Like, barring an injury, he is the everyday catcher. $6 million for your everyday catcher coming off the best year of his career, that's reasonable.
I would say that one actually surprises me more than losing Jurickson Profar.
I agree
just
with that.
From the price tag, perspective, even if you are on, a pretty tight budget, feels like you can find a way to work that guy in, as important as he was last year. But we're not getting all the information of what the Padres, project in their own, interior models for Kyle Higashioka going forward. Maybe there was a reason why they felt like he wasn't worth the $6 million for this current roster going forward. So you have to think about all the different factors. We went through some of the names. You know, Woods, the only one he was really interested in terms of the outfielders that are still available was Tommy Pham. I do think that there's a possibility that a guy like Mark Canna or even a Alex Verdugo or Harrison Bader, I think they both had like 12 home runs last year. Not quite what Jurickson did, but you get a guy who hits, you know, 15 home runs, plays decent outfield, and gets him, you know, at maybe a fraction, like a quarter of the cost of Jurickson Profar. It's not a bad signing. There's some potentially good signings still out there on the outfield market that can be had, and I'll be curious to see what direction A.J. Preller goes now that Jurickson is gone. But
I would probably put Tommy Pham at the top of my wish list.
I would as well. I think he makes the most sense. But
yeah, comfortable here at least. You know, knows where he'll live. You know, knows the way around. Which, you know, for guys like Blake Snell, that's super important. For a guy like Tommy Pham, I don't know if it's important at all. But at least he knows the organization a little bit. He's going to bring that edge and that fire that you just lost in left field with Jurickson Profar leaving. And if the team thinks that there's still some value to be had in a Tommy Pham, and you can get him at, you know, in that $3 to $5 million range, I say let's roll.
You know, and the one that I know that Woods would quickly dismiss, and he did.
So is that why you're saying it now?
Yeah, exactly, because he's gone. Yeah. It's Manuel Margot, is the former Padre. You know, he had a 2.8 WAR season in 2021 with Tampa Bay, 1.5 WAR in 2022. 1.5 WAR in 2022. Now, he's coming off a bad season, which is why he would be very affordable. He had a bad season with the Twins last year. But he's not – how old is he? He's only 30 years old?
I'm not sure that I'm ready for the bring him home chance.
Plays good defense. He's not. It's not as out there of a suggestion.
Fourth outfielder, maybe. Okay, maybe take him over Bryce Johnson, but I don't know about an everyday starter.
I mean, in 2022,
that feels like a massive step backwards.
700 OPS. I mean, yeah, he's not an all star. He's never going to be an all star, but.
We just talked about you got to the NLDS, you had the eventual champions on the ropes, you felt like it really could have been your year. Try not to take too many steps backwards. That feels like quite a big step backwards.
Yeah, but it's a step forwards from what you have on your roster right now. Here's Ornelas and Brandon Lockridge. Manuel Margot is an upgrade over that in left field right now. Tommy Pham, I agree. He's probably number one on my chart. I'm just throwing out some other names that are available and could possibly make sense for the Padres at this moment. All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, one of baseball's most heart-wrenching yet inspiring stories from the man himself, former Padres pitcher Dave Dravecki, is going to join us from Padres Fantasy Camp. Coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Definitely looking forward to our next guest, Dave Dravecki, about to sit down and join us. First, this segment of Bennett Woods is brought to you by Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. They're recruiting professionals utilizing award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, they know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent. Today, most Padres fans, I think, have kind of the general idea of Dave Dravecki's story, but if you haven't heard Dave tell it himself, and even if you have, and I have, it is still something that you do not want to miss. And
this time last year, he joined us, and, you know, he's a motivational speaker as well now because of his story, and he tells it so well, and I just remember people, whether it was their first time or not, people are like, I am sobbing on my way into work right now, so thank you for that, guys. It's such a great story. He's one of my coaches. It's been so much fun playing for him for the last two seasons now, and Dave Dravecki joins us. If you want to put that headset on, Dave, we'll get you all.
I need two hands.
Oh, okay, so, yeah. He's
That's true. How about we put you on that stick mic right there?
Yeah.
I like the headset.
There we go. I can help you out there. There you go. Feel comfortable.
Very cool.
I
like this.
So you missed this. We hand him the headset microphone, which is two earphones, and it's because of how it snaps around your ears. They're together, so you need to pull them apart with your two hands to get them over your head, which, of course, Dave makes the quick, witty joke. I need another hand to actually put these on my head. And that's the great thing about Dave. So if you don't know Dave's story, obviously he lost his left arm, and he will talk about that when we. But your attitude seems to be so positive all the time. Every time we talk to you, it is always amazing how you can be lighthearted and have a smile on your face, and you have this attitude that just seems to follow you around this building here, and it's just incredible. So it's great to see you again.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really good to be with you guys too. And Paulie, you've had a great season, buddy.
Thank you.
I love it, man.
Appreciate it.
Yep, the one-armed bandits were having some fun this fantasy camp.
So before we get to, obviously, what happened later in your career, you came up with the San Diego Padres, 1984. I was there at Game 5 of the National League Championship Series against the Cubs. You were one of the pitchers right in that game as battled toe-to-toe and eventually pulled out the win to send the Padres to their first World Series title. Talk about those early years of your career with the San Diego Padres, playing for Dick Williams and trying to establish yourself as a left-handed pitcher in Major League Baseball.
Boy, there's a lot in that. Dick Williams, the Padres organization, teammates. You know, first of all, Dick Williams was probably the best field manager that I played for. And he was tough on us.
Not everybody shares that opinion. Dick rubbed some people the wrong way.
But you know what? What he did between the lines in managing a game was incredible. And, you know, he was notorious for, you know, taking guys into the newspaper and ripping them for a bad game. But where's the argument if you had a bad game? And for me, it was a psychological thing. So I saw him trying to nudge me to be better. It was more a motivation. I tried to see it from a motivational point of view. If you're going to rip me in the paper, then I'm going to be motivated to prove you wrong. And that's how he drew the best out of me, which I loved. But you know what was really cool? In the off season, we would do the community service stuff, and we would go and visit hospitals and do things like that with the Padres community team. And Dick would be with us. And he was the most incredible guy off the field. He was just a wonderful human being, playing for the Kroc family. You know, Joan was amazing, unbelievable, because it was family. And I absolutely loved that time in San Diego over those almost 5 years. And then my teammates made it great because, you know, I learned so much from them. So anyway, it was a great experience.
You know, it's interesting how you say it motivated you when Dick would say something in the media negative. Mike Schilt's office right down the hall wouldn't even dream of doing that, but modern ball players, I think, are a little bit different. You don't see managers necessarily lighting up their own players in public. Now, maybe behind closed doors, you know, they bring them in, give them an airing out, but you rarely see it anymore that a manager would actually publicly call one of his own players to task. And I don't know, you know, the players are probably making more money than the managers nowadays. And, you know, they feel like, hey, if someone's going to go, the manager's going to be the first one to go. So he's not going to want to make waves in his own clubhouse.
Yeah. Look, I just think the game's different today, you know. And you know, if you understand that, then you play accordingly. You know, our generation of players, you know, we had really good managers, but they were hard on us. They knew how to manage us. They knew what it took to get the best out of us. They understood what the veteran player in the clubhouse could do for the young player, and that was a huge thing. Some of that is still very true for today. You know, a lot of the veterans, you look at this ball club, and you look at Manny Machado in particular, with the Padres, and his presence in the clubhouse, his leadership in the clubhouse, is significant with those younger players because he knows how to play the game. And so as a result of that, you have some similarities between my generation of playing and today's generation. But every manager is going to be different regardless. I mean, I played for a really nice guy in Steve Boros. He was a sweetheart of a human being, but he wasn't tough. You know, he was really kind, did his best to manage the team, and then after that, you know, we get Larry Bowa. And you have these contrasts of managers. So it's really about the individual and the way they want to go about running their ball club.
Talking to Dave Dravecki here, and you were traded as a minor leaguer from the Pirates to the Padres organization. But after, what, about 6 years in San Diego, what do you remember about the 4th of July, 1987? It was the day that you were traded to the San Francisco Giants. In fact, we've had a few of the members of that trade here this week. Mark Grant was in that trade. Mark Davis, who was here the other day when the Cy Young Award winner was in that trade, who came to the San Diego Padres. How did that, like, upend your life? And what was your reaction when you found out you were going from one team to a division rival?
You know, that's a good word, upend. Because, you know, for my wife and I and our family, I was beginning to develop relationships in San Diego. So it was a huge surprise on the 4th of July. I wasn't pitching well. So granted, I understand the dynamic there. But we had developed so many wonderful relationships. We loved San Diego. We were living in Bernardo Heights. And it was just a wonderful time in our life. And then all of a sudden, we're in Montreal, and Larry Boa calls me, Kevin Mitchell, and Craig Lefferts into the office. And he said, I'm not going to beat around the bush. We've traded you to the San Francisco Giants. Go talk to the traveling secretary, and he's got all your stuff in order. And, you know, see you guys later. It was great. And it was like, oh my gosh, here we go. And I had no idea at that time what the trade would mean for me personally. But in that moment, what was really hard was Kevin, Boogie Bear, Kevin Mitchell. He was really upset. And so Kevin didn't want to go. And Craig Lefferts and I had to work really hard for the next 12 hours to be able to get him in the cab early the next morning to go catch a flight so we could go to San Francisco. Now, for all three of us, it great move because, you know, our careers, you know, took a real positive turn, and a lot of good things happened during that time. But in that moment, it was really hard. It was hard to go from being a Padre because I loved the community of San Diego. The fans were awesome. As a matter of fact, when I speak about that, when I was diagnosed with cancer and I was with the Giants, it wasn't just Giants fans that were supporting us. I mean, you know, San Diego fans, the cards and the letters wishing us well, praying for us and doing those things. It was from that group of people in this community in San Diego, as well as the Giants. So that was a really hard time, though, because I wanted to be with the Padres and finish out my career. I'm a loyal guy, and I wanted to stay there for the rest of my career. I wanted to do what Tony Gwynn did, you know, which would have been a wonderful thing. But then I also had a great experience in San Francisco.
So you just alluded to it. About a year later, your life changed forever with the cancer diagnosis, and we're going to talk about that and your story from that point on after a brief check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. We're sitting with Dave Dravecki here at Padres Fantasy Camp. Tell me about 1988. Obviously, you know, pitchers feel weird stuff in their arms all the time. You're overexerting it. It's not a natural movement. Injuries happen all the time. Mm-hmm. And you've got some sort of feeling in your arm. I imagine they admit it was something to do with pitching in 1988. What was that like, and how did that process go until eventually you were diagnosed later that year?
Yeah, actually, it was a small lump that had developed on the outside of my left arm. So at the end of the 87 season, I had noticed this small P-shaped lump there, but it was really small. So I went in, and Cliff Caldwell was the team doc at the time, the orthopedic doc, and he did an MRI. I got permission, because I was still living in San Diego, to go to him and actually go through and get an MRI, and they found nothing conclusive. But during the course of the 88 season, you know, all of a sudden that small lump grew into half the size of a golf ball.
Wow.
Now they were telling me that I had cancer and I was going to be having to go in for surgery. Our 10th wedding anniversary, I go in for 10 and a half hours to remove the mass as well as 50% of my deltoid muscle. And the doctors told me outside of a miracle, I would never pitch again. So that was a really, really difficult time, you know, going in and discovering that, in fact, I had cancer when all along we thought it was scar tissue. Because when you're throwing a baseball, you're tearing muscle fibers and doing all that. And it ends up being cancer.
Not just cancer, but cancer in your moneymaker, your pitching arm.
Absolutely.
I mean, anywhere to get it. I mean,
absolutely.
Was it like?
Yeah,
it must have like gobsmacked you, like in my arm.
Yeah, it was amazing when I thought about that. But you know, as the story unfolded, one of the things that that I saw in all of this, now that I can look back, and I feel very grateful that I can actually look back and think about this story that unfolded was, at that moment, nobody knew what I would be able to do, you know. And so what my wife and I had to do was we had to step into this, trusting God with this whole story. But as we did that, so what does that mean when I say trusting God? Well, there's all these doctors, Dr. Mushler, the physical therapists, the trainers, all the people that ended up coming into my story and actually working with me to get me healthy first, and then from there to see if I could pitch. And so I was so grateful. My wife and I, when we look back and we see that, we're so grateful for the fact that all these people entered into our story and got ultimately culminate with us making a comeback that nobody thought I'd be able to do. Nobody. And now all of a sudden, on August 10th, 1989, I'm standing on the mound after going through this horrific surgery. And the recovery was extremely intense. And I'm getting ready to pitch. Now, ask yourself this. Current day, do you think for 1 minute I would have been able to go 8 innings and throw 93 pitches in my first game back?
Not a chance.
Not a chance. As a matter of fact, we were talking about it in the locker room with the coaches. Coach Rafecki, they'd have given you 25 pitches in your first game and yanked you. They'd give you 35 in your second.
You're coming
game.
Off a head cold. You would have been limited to, yeah, to 40 or 50 pitches.
That's incredible.
So I end up throwing 93 pitches. But you know what, guys? What's more, even more incredible is my first comeback game against the Stockton Ports playing for the San Jose Giants on July 23rd of 1989, they gave me a 75-pitch limit. It was a 7-inning doubleheader in the minor leagues. And I went 76. I threw 76 pitches and completed that game. The next game, they gave me 100 pitches, and I threw 93 in winning that game 6-3 with a complete game, 9-inning game. Then they sent me to AAA. And I no limit on pitches, and I went 9 more innings, complete game. We went 3-2, and I throw another 93 pitches. Then I'm in the comeback game, and I throw 93 pitches. I don't know what it was about 93, but I ended up being 4-0 in those first four starts before the actual moment when I broke my arm in the next start against the Montreal Expos.
So, August 15th, 1989, you're facing the Expos, fifth inning. Who's up at the plate? Tim Raines is up at the plate. It must be very difficult, but walk us through just your feeling at that moment.
Well, obviously, prior to the arm breaking when I threw the pitch to Tim, I mean, I was back in the saddle. I'm feeling really good about the future. I'm at the end of a contract. You know, I'm thinking, man, I am okay. Everything is back to normal. And I had a few twinges, but they were nothing compared to some of the twinges I've had in previous starts before all this happened. And so I'm out there, and I don't pay any attention to it. You just play through it, you know. And I rear back, and I throw that pitch to Tim, and my left arm explodes in my left ear.
Ugh.
And Will Clark said it was like someone, a sniper, had shot me from the upper deck. And he came running to me, telling me to breathe. And I was actually going into shock. And I finally was able to catch my faculties. And as I got my faculties back, I actually thought this. Oh, my gosh. Something bigger is going on in my life. And I don't know what it is, but I think God's setting the stage for something else. And you know what's really interesting? Bob Knepper, a teammate of mine, had said to me 5 hours earlier, it's not the miracle of the comeback, but the miracle of salvation that took place in your life in Amarillo, Texas, when you came to faith in Jesus. And what God is doing is giving you a platform through baseball to share his love with those who hurt. And I can honestly tell you, that's all I heard when I was laying on the ground. God, what are you up to? Now, I'm in the moment. I'm in tremendous pain. I go to the hospital. They have to do an x-ray to confirm that I've broken my arm, and they do. Subsequently, I go back, and by the end of that season and going into the fall, around Thanksgiving, I had to announce my retirement because I wasn't going to be able to make a comeback. And life didn't get better. it got much more difficult. More surgeries, more cancer, depression. I think I've shared with you guys, you know, I didn't know how to handle what was going on in my life, and I became verbally abusive. I didn't know how to deal with my anger, and I kept stuffing it, and then finally it started coming out, and I took it out on the people that I love the most. So it was just a really, really wow. difficult time, but I look back on all that, and I'm really grateful for it because of what it's done in my life today.
So, yeah, you had to have the arm obviously amputated. You're going through this, you know, personal crisis. What would you say is the moment, or what turned you around? Was it a moment? Was it a person? Was it just self-reflection? Because obviously the person that's sitting in front of us today is a positive person, a motivational speaker, someone who takes every moment in life and just loves it as much as you do. How did that change from where you were there to where you are now?
Well, I think all along it's been Jesus. I really do. My faith has been the significant piece in all of this. And when I say that, I don't say that I'm saying that it's been a bed of roses. But in every aspect of my story, he's been there to provide the strength to endure the journey. And when I refer to him in that context, I'm talking about how he was able to use people to come into my life, to walk with me on the journey and love me well, which showed me how much he loves me. And over all this time, the joy that I have today is that it's because I know who I am. In my relationship with him, I have my identity. And as a result of that identity, I can live life just as I am and be free in that. And so in knowing who I am, there's a wonderful verse, guys, in the Bible. And this is where I struggle with why people struggle so much with understanding how much God loves them. Because there's a beautiful verse in the Bible that says, you know, that when we become followers of his, we actually receive from him love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Those are all the characteristics that we now possess. And all we have to do is live out of that place. And it's not easy. I struggle with it every day. Self-control, patience, kindness. But the bottom line is that's who I desire to be. That's who I am becoming. And that's why I live this life with joy. I only have today. That's all we have. And I want to make the most of it. But what I also have is a promise. A promise that says to me that if my life is taken, it doesn't end. In many respects, it just begins, because Jesus has shown me the way to my eternal home. This is just a temporary place. And I believe I'm going someplace for an eternity that's going to be more beautiful than I can describe. And that's why I live the way I live.
Dave, it's an incredible story. I thank you so much for sharing it again. Obviously, you need that patience with the fantasy campers here. Good luck to you guys in your in Paul's game later today.
Yes.
And it was a pleasure to see you again. Hopefully, we get to see you again next year at fantasy camp as well. But whatever
it's been
happens,
such joy to play
I will
for
appreciate
you,
and enjoy this moment that I got to spend with you here today.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys. You
Dave Dravecki, always an incredible story. Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick timeout. Top of the hour, we'll come back. I believe Mark Loretta is going to join us. We'll have more for you from Padres Fantasy Camp in Peoria, Arizona, on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. We'll be right back.